Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim Tzadi Zayin 97. We are almost up to the Mishnah. We're a little bit before the Mishnah. We are on Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two dots towards the middle of the Amud, right in the middle of the Amud. Echad Kache Kadashim. This takes us back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah going back to Tzadi Hey Amud Beis introduces us to the halachas of the Torah about Shvira and Marika Ushtifa. When I take a Karmen Chatzis and cook it in a earthenware pot, so we know that by the end of today, meaning tonight, meaning if I cooked it today, so we know that the meat's going to become nosa. So that means to say that if I cook it in an earthenware pot, so that means to say that the taste that's embedded within the walls of the pot are by the end of tonight going to be nosa by tomorrow morning. Yes, there's a gzera derabanan. They're already by midnight. You can't. You have to stop eating the karmen chatas. But by tomorrow morning, however, min haTorah, it's going to be nosar. So when I cook in earthenware pots, so in order to extract the taste, you can't extract it. You can't kasher kli cheres. So therefore, you have to break it. Masha enkein if it's metal. So the Torah says you do marika ushtifa. You basically kasher it. As I pointed out, which we're going to start this morning. So how is this different than any other time that I have Isser? And I need to expunge the taste, so I don't have to kosher it as well. So isn't Marika Mishtifa a requirement any time that there's Isser? So stay tuned. In a moment, we're going to answer that question. If you remember, the Mishnah brought down a Machlokas HaTanayim. I'm just going to review the Mishnah on Sadi Hamid Beis. The Mishnah says, Echad Shebisha Bal Ve'echad She'ira L'Socha Roseach. Whether you cooked in the pot or whether you poured into the pot, and as we pointed out, that's Irui. And what is the status of Ira Kli Rishon? Is it have the status of Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni or something more in the middle? So as I pointed out, Tosfos on Tzadi Hei Amud Beis has that discussion. But in the meantime, the Mishnah says that if I cook in a pot, if I ma'ar into a pot, if I pour into a pot, Echad Kashi Kadashim ve'Echad Kashim Kalim to Marika V'Shtifa. So according to the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, Marika V'Shtifa applies by all karbanos, even though the mitzvah in the Torah of Marika V'Shtifa is localized to a karban chatas. It was, we quoted already the Parsha many times, Parsha Tzav, Perek Vav, the end of the Perek. The Torah says, "Ukli cheres asher tivusha bo yishaver." If I cook chatas in an earthenware pot, I have to break it. V'im b'kli nechoshes b'shalom morak v'shutaf b'mayim. And if I cook in a copper pot, so then I have to kasher it. So the Torah gives us these halachas regarding karban chatas. However, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that's where the halacha can be found, but in terms of the application of the halacha, it applies to all karbanos. Rabbi Shimon, however, disagrees. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Kachim Kalim, Ein to Unamirka Vishtifa. Rabbi Shimon says that there's no requirement of Mirka Vishtifa by Kachim Kalim, it's only by Kachi Kachim. That's the machlokas we saw in the Mishnah, and now let's see our Gemara. Our Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We are on Sadi Vav Amud Beis. Chatzas only ala chatzas called kadashim minayin. I know karban chatzas. I don't know other karbanas as well. Tamar lamer kodesh kadashim he. So the Torah says kodesh kadashim he, which means that this halacha extends to other karbanas as well. But karbanas that are in the category of kachi kachim. Yachashani mar besa truma. What about truma? Meaning, so once we are inclusive, tamar lamer osa pratlu truma. So the word osa is a mute. It's an exclusion. I'm sorry. Let me just take one step backwards. The Tanakhama, which as we're seeing in a moment is Rabbi Huda, doesn't limit it to Kachi Kachim. Meaning, right, the Torah says Kodesh Kadashim He, but based on the double language, it applies to all Karbanos. Sorry, that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Now that it applies to all Karbanos, meaning it applies to Kachi Kachim and it applies to Kachim Kalim, now this will work out a lot better. We'll understand this now a lot better. Maybe should it apply to Truma as well. Now, Truma is not a Karban, but it has Kedusha. Truma can only be eaten by Kohanim. Now, granted, in terms of where it can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but still, it has Kedusha. So I might have thought that if I'm cooking Truma in a pot, there's this requirement of Marika Ushtifa. So the right, understood. It has Kedusha. So Tamalamar Osa. So the Torah says the word Osa. So Prala Truma Div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, by the word Osa, is coming to exclude Truma. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachi Kadashim to Namrika Vashifa, Kachim Kalim into Namrika Vashifa. Dechsiv Kodesh Kadashim, Kachi Kachim in, Kachim Kalim Lo. So now we have the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And right, this is what I mistakenly said earlier as sheet of Rabbi Huda. And now we have the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the halacha Marika Vashifa only applies to Karbanos in the category of Kachi Kadashim. Chatas Asham, Again, I'd say ola, but it's not ola because you're not cooking a carbon ola in any pot. Carbon ola is being offered totally on the mizbeach. So we're talking chatas, we're talking asham. So when I cook those in a pot, there's a requirement to marika v'shtifa. It doesn't apply by kashim kalim. And again, as far as the source of Rabbi Shimon, it's very simple. The Torah says kodesh kadashim hi. So my time in the Rabbi Yehuda, midisrecho salamute truma mechlad kashim kalim to an marika v'shtifa. So now the Gemara is going to go in its classic back and forth. How did Rabbi Yehuda look at the Pesukim? How's Rabbi Shimon going to counter? And here we go back and forth. So let's start with Rabbi Yehuda. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that it includes Kashim Kalam? So the Gemara says, in defense of Rabbi Yehuda, it's very simple. Meaning when the word Osa is coming to limit, and the limitation is coming to Truma, so that means that anything just short of Truma is going to require Merika V'Shifa. So that means to say that Kashim Kadashim and Kashim Kalam both require Merika V'Shifa. Rabbi Shimon, Amlacha Osa Kedarminan. So, and as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, well, the word Osa in the Pasuk is a mir, it is an exclusion, but it's an exclusion to something that we discussed earlier. The Gemara right now expects us to remember the Gemara that we did 3-4 days ago, which isn't, you know, that's fair. But just in case we don't, Rashi's here. Osa kid amrinan. Rashi, osak sher velo psula. The afke Rabbi Shimon el chatashai slo shasa kosher venifsula. Remember, we talked about blood going into clothing and the requirement to launder the clothing when blood of a carbon chatas goes into the clothing. And then we talked about dampsula. What if it's the blood of a carbon chatas that's disqualified? Does that need to be laundered? So we said no. But what if it was blood that was disqualified that had a shasa kosher? That it had a moment of eligibility, and it only becomes disqualified after you shechted the animal and after I received the blood in a kli shares. So on that we had a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon excludes it, and Rabbi Shimon excludes it from the word osa. So in other words, so as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, the word osa is already spoken for another halacha. V'truma lo ba'yeh shtifa merika. And as far as truma is concerned, truma doesn't require merika u'shtifa. Ben, this could be the argument you were making earlier. Meaning, I don't need an exclusion for truma, for this requirement of merika u'shtifa. Merika u'shtifa is something specific to karbanos. V'hatanya, the Gemara quotes a braisa. K'der shebishol ba'basa lo yivashol ba'chalav. V'im bishol b'nos nintam. Truma lo yivashol ba'chulim. V'im bishol b'nos nintam. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it doesn't need kashering? We know that if I cook meat in a pot, and then I cook milk in the pot, if there is enough meat in the walls of the pot, embedded in the walls of the pot, where the taste of that meat now is going to come out and provide taste into the milk, so we have what's called basar b'chalav. In other words, basically what we all know, that when I have tastes of foods that combine with one another, so as long as the taste is significant, as long as I could taste the food, the taste that's being introduced, so then it's a tyrovis and it's a mixture, and then I have to look at the ramifications. If it's meat and milk, so it's basar b'chalav. Same thing is true with truma. If I cook truma in a pot, and now afterwards I cook regular chulin in the pot, non-truma in the pot, so if there's enough chulin that was cooked previously in the pot, where now the taste of that truma is going to be infused into the food, so now we have a taste. We have tam, and therefore it becomes usur. So what do you mean that if I cook truma in a pot, it doesn't even require kashering? Of course it requires kashering. So what are you talking about? Basically, it's at this juncture now the Gemara is asking the question that we've been asking now for a couple of days, but I told you to be patient for the answer, and here's where the Gemara now is going to answer. What is this requirement of merika u'shtifa that goes above and beyond just regular kashering? Meaning, we know that if I'm cooking food in a pot, so the taste is now infused into the walls of the pot, and now either you have to account for the taste when you, next time you cook in the pot, or you kosher the pot and you remove the taste from the pot. And here, when we're talking about carbon chatas, kachim, maybe kachim kalam being cooked in a pot, I have the special requirement of merika v'shtifa. Well, it's not a special requirement. It's just simply if I want the taste to be out of the pot, I need to kosher it, right?
But koshering it, if that's kodesh, you're removing kodesh. What are you doing with that kodesh? Isn't there?
You're removing the taste of the kodesh, but yeah. In other words, In other words, but we're removing it because if that taste remains in there, the taste is going to become nosar. Or we could.
Yeah, but what happens? I understand you're removing the taste of it, so now you've done the process, and you know you. Whatever that process might be, and then what are you doing with the whatever's coming out of that process, whatever the byproduct is of that process.
No, you're discarding it. In other words, you're discarding. Yeah, you're meaning you're expunging the taste by boiling water in the pot, and now you expunged it. You removed it from the pot. It's no longer a problem. So now what the Gemara is asking is, what is this Mariko Vishtifa that goes above and beyond just regular koshering? So to this, the Gemara gives two basic answers. Number one, Amar Abai Lo Tzricha El Ala Da Amar Mar. Bishul B'Mikzas Kli Tal Mariko Vishtifa Kol HaKli. So the Gemara says, Hachuma Lo Tzarech El Amakam Bishul. So the Gemara says, well, we could say one of two things. One thing we could say is that, of course, you need koshering all the time. Of course. If I cook truma in a pot, and I don't want that taste of the truma to go into the next thing I cook in the pot, so of course I have to kosher it. That goes without saying. So in other words, Mariko Vishtifa is introducing to us something that is that goes above just regular koshering. In other words, a halacha that is above and beyond just quote unquote regular koshering. According to Abaye, the extra halacha that we generate from Mariko Vishtifa is that when we're cooking in a pot and it's just a matter of koshering, I only need to kosher the area in which I cooked. Meaning that, let's say I filled the pot, I'm just giving an example. I filled the pot, let's say halfway, and I cooked in that pot. So in other words, in terms of koshering, I only need to kosher up to the area I cooked. In general, we of course assume you cooked previously all the way up to the top. And therefore, when you kosher all the way up to the top. But in terms of like me'ikar adin, what do I need to extract? So I only need to extract the area which I cooked. What does Mariko Vishtifa introduce us to? The idea that if it's a karban, and again, what kind of karban? Machlokas tanaim, like we discussed in the Mishnah. But if it's a karban, so now the requirement of Mariko Vishtifa demands that I must do the process on the entire pot, even on the part of the pot that was not cooked.
So that's trum is not mefafeya, just like anything else you cook?
I mean, it is going to be mefafeya, but in other words, not through the entire pot. In other words, it'll be mefafeya through other food. Okay, fine. In other words, that's a Abaye's answer. Rava Amar Lo Tzricha El Ala Da Amar Mar. B'mayim V'lo B'yayin, B'mayim V'lo B'mazuk. So Ha Afilo B'yayin V'Afilo B'mazuk. So Rava's answer is that when it comes to just standard koshering doesn't have to be done with water. Standard koshering can be done with other liquids. You want to kosher with wine? I know that sounds strange. You want to kosher with wine? That's fine. You want to kosher with diluted wine? That's fine as well. Meaning, standard koshering just simply means that I boil a liquid in the pot. Mariko Vishtifa, the special halacha that applies to karbanos, water. It has to be done specifically with water. Rabba bar ula amar lo tzricha el ala da amar mar Mariko Vishtifa bitzonein ha afilu bechamin ha afilu bechamin. So the Gemara says, or we could say like this. And this takes us to a point that we're going to be learning later on. Meaning, regular koshering, that's boiling water. Mariko Vishtifa, that's a cold rinse. A cold rinse that's done afterwards. Mariko Vishtifa Bitsonin, Rashi, Bar Mehagalas Chamim. Meaning, in addition to the standard koshering, Hadachuma Diimai Mitoris Mariko Vishtifa, Sagale Bahagalas Chamim Lechudayu. Meaning, all I need to do, generally speaking, is a standard koshering, meaning boiling hot water. But that's it. In other words, Mariko Vishtifa introduces us to this idea that I also need to do a rinse of cold water. Mariko Vishtifa bitzonin, the Gemara says, great. So if you subscribe to the idea that Mariko Vishtifa is done in cold water, so then it's great. So the Gemara says, but if Mariko Vishtifa is Marika's in hot water, Shifa's in cold water, so then what are you? What new thing are you introducing? So the Gemara says, Shtifa Yeserasa. Yeah, what you're introducing now is an additional rinse of cold water. So in other words, after you do Marika, so you do the Marika Bechamin, the Shtifa Betzonein, and then you do an additional cold rinse. That's the extra added feature that is involved in a carbon. But in a non-carbon, you just simply do regular koshering.
It's not because there's tamei korban in the pot, because we don't do it for, say, chametz, or we don't do it for meat and milk and so on. We just do it for korban. So it's not the tamei that's inside the wall, right?
You're supposed to
do it for adult. No, Agala accomplishes that.
No,
so
In other words, Hagala, standard Hagala, standard boiling water in a pot is going to extract and expunge the taste that is embedded in the walls of the pot. When it comes to carbon, there's an extra requirement.
Why?
What it? Not why. Sorry. The pasuk. Thank you. What is the extra requirement? So the Gemara gives now a number of opinions in terms of what that extra requirement is.
Yeah,
why is there an extra requirement?
Because
the Torah
says.
There's an extra requirement of Marika Vashifa.
If Marika is Chamin, then Marika is a Golem.
Right. In other words, correct. But in other words, there has to be something additional and above just standard Haggalah. Because standard Haggalah is true by any time you want to extract.
For Truma
also.
Marika alone is enough.
Correct. All right. We are continuing now. We're on the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud Ansari Vav Amud Beis. And we go into Yantiv. We're going into Yantiv and there's going to be a lot of action in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to be offering karbanos on the first day of Yantiv, and for those who don't bring a karban on the first day of Yantiv, they'll bring on the second, maybe the third. But in other words, we're going into a 7-day Yantiv and a lot of activity. And is there going to be a kashering requirement over Yantiv? Rabbi Tarfon says nope. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Bishal Mitchilas Aregel Yivashabol Kol Aregel. So Rabbi Tarfon and the Mishnah teaches us that as long as I'm using a pot in the beginning of Yantiv to cook karbanos, so go ahead, just keep using that pot through the rest of Yantiv, and I don't need to kasher. Why don't I need to kasher? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. V'chachamim omrim ad zman achila. So, and the chachamim say, no, he goes up until the zman achila. What exactly do the chachamim mean? So, once again, I will advise that we wait till we get to the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to discuss what the chachamim mean by that as well. Marika v'shtifa. Now, again, we're spending a lot of time talking about this extra requirement, this special requirement in the Torah, that when I cook carbon in a pot, in a metal pot, so I have to go through the procedure of Marika Vashtifa. I know it involves water. That part I know. But what exactly am I doing? What does the Torah want when the Torah is asking me to do Marika Vashtifa? Not asking, demanding. So Marika Vashtifa, Marika Zakos, Vashtifa Kashtifa Zakos. Marika Vashtifa Bitsone. So the Mishnah over here says that Marika Vashtifa means a couple of things. Number one, says the Mishnah, it means it's like what I do with a kos. What kos are we talking about? Kosher Bracha. The Gemara in Brachos, in the 7th parak, tells us that there is something called the Kosher Bracha. So we are most familiar with Kosher Bracha as it relates to like Kiddush. In other words, we make Kiddush and attach the Kiddush to the Kos. We also know Kosher Bracha by Havdalah. But we also, we're less familiar with it, but it's in the Gemara, and that is Kosher Bracha by benching. In other words, when you bench over a cup of wine. So the and when I have a Kosher Bracha, so the Kosher Bracha has a number of requirements. The Gemara in Brachos says that there are 10 requirements in total by Kosher Bracha. The Gemara distills it so that 4 are absolutely critical. But in other words, the Gemara in Brachos goes through the various requirements that there is regarding a Kosher Bracha. 2 of those requirements are Marika and Shtifa. So these are 2 of the basic requirements regarding a Kos. And what is Marika Vashtifa? Rashi over here says that when it comes to Marika, that is Bifnim. That's the interior rinsing of the cup. When it comes to Shtifa, that is the exterior rinsing of the cup. So when you have a cup that you're going to be using as a kosher bracha, you have to rinse it both interior and exterior. So what our Mishnah is teaching us is that when the Torah demands that we do Marika Vashtifa when it comes to a pot that's used for karban, so it means the rinsing with water both interior and exterior, both in the interior of the kli, and on the exterior of the kli as well. And, says the Mishnah, that Marika Vashtifa Bitsonin, that it has to be done in cold. Now, there are a couple of girsos of our Mishnah. The girsa of our Mishnah, as we have it, is Marika Vashtifa Bitsonin, that they're both done in cold. Another girsa of the Mishnah is Marika Bechame Vashtifa Bitsonin. Now, we already saw at the end of the previous sugya that it's a machlokus in terms of whether or not there is... both are done in cold water, meaning in that in addition to standard Haggalah, standard boiling water in the pot, there's an additional requirement of Marika Vishtifa, meaning both rinsing cold, both interior and exterior. Or the other possible gears of our Mishnah is Marika Bechamin, which is your standard kashering, and then Shtifa Bitsone. Okay, but either way, the point is that there's an extra requirement of rinse in addition to just your standard Haggalah. And then the Mishnah tells us, Hashput v'askala magil mechamen. And then if I have a spit, or anything that I'm using directly over the fire, so if I want to expunge and extract the taste out of that spit, so then Haggalah, I just boil it in water. Now, everyone here should be wondering to themselves, I didn't think that that was going to what the Mishnah was going to say. The Mishnah was going to talk about kashering a spit, which is cooked, used directly over fire. You're going to boil in water? What do you mean, boil in water? Kebolo kach polto. We have a general rule without regarding kashering, the halachas of kashering, that the way the taste gets extracted into any utensil is the way, it's the same manner in which you're going to extract it. So if it goes in through directly over fire, so how do you extract it? We're using direct fire. In other words, libun. So why is the Mishnah over here saying that when it comes to these spits and grills that I'm using directly over a fire, so how do I kosher it with boiling water? What is the Mishnah talking about? So it should sound like a familiar question, because at the end of Masechta Avodah Zarah, right, the last or second to last daf over there in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara over there asks exactly this question. The mission of Avodah Zarah says, Kibbolah kach polto, that the way that you extract the taste from anything is the same way that the taste went in there. If the taste went in through direct fire, the only way of extraction is direct fire. So that would mean that if I want to kosher a spit or a grill, it's got to be with direct fire. And meanwhile, our mission over here says, use hot water, boil the hot water. How do I resolve the steer between the two Mishnayos? So I will say to you, go back to Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara over there gives a number of answers in terms of how to address this question. Let's go to the Gemara. My time or on Sunday. In other words, based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Okay. So, my time at the Rabbi Tarfon. What is the basis of Rabbi Tarfon? Remember, Rabbi Tarfon says that when I'm using a pot on Yontav, so I don't need to kasher pot through the entirety of Yontav. Why should that be? Okay, so the Gemara is going to give one suggestion. The Gemara is going to give a second suggestion. First suggestion of the Gemara: My time to Rabbi Tarfon Amakro Fanisa Baboker Valach Lo Alecha. So you wake up in the morning, and go home. There is a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, Bimhir B'Yameinu. We're going to have a Beis Hamikdash. So we have a mitzvah. Every one of the regalim. So we go to the Beis Hamikdash and we bring our kabbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Torah says you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to go home. What are we talking about? We're talking about the morning of Yontif? We can't be talking about the morning of Yontif. Why can't we be talking about the morning of Yontif? Really interesting Rashi. Rashi over here says, it can't be the first day of Yontif. Al-karchach boker shechol kamar, v'kari le boker rishon. So Rashi in the Gemara says that it can't be the first day of Yontif. Now, why can't it be the first day of Yontif? So if you take a look... why can't it be? So Rashi over here doesn't spell it out, but Rashi elsewhere, and you see Tosus over here understands the reason why it can't be the first day of Yontav. It can't be the morning of Yontav because we have something called Tchum. We know that on Shabbos and on Yontav, so you are circumscribed within Tchum. You can't go beyond 2,000 amas outside of city limits or your makom shvisa. And this is a halacha that's not just applying to Shabbos; it applies to Yontav as well. And so, on the first day of Yontav, how can you get up and go home? It's Yontav, you can't go beyond Tchum. Now, it happens to be that Tosfos struggles with this pshat of Rashi because Tchum is an Issa D'Rabbanan, Tchum is not an Issa D'Oraisa. We're learning a drasha in the Torah. Okay, so see Tosfos for more discussion on this topic. But anyway, for our purposes right now, Fanisa Baboker, you're going to wake up in the morning, it means the first day of Chol HaMoed. And you're going to go home. V'alach v'lo alecha. Ha'kasav asau l'kulan boker echad. So now, even though it's not the first day of Yontav, it's the second day of Yontav. And the Torah says, Ufanisa baboker. The Torah is treating the second day of Yontav like the first day of Yontav. You know what the Torah is basically saying? This is the Gemara's first suggestion. That the 7 days of Yontav are really all but one long day. Meaning when you enter a period of Yontav, meaning the 7 days of Yontav, it's one time period. Basically now, over the 7 days of Yontav, time no longer serves as a standard construct.
But
Notar
doesn't apply.
So hold one second. That's very good. So the Gemara says, so what do you mean to tell me? That if we're really going to treat the 7 days of Yontav like one day, you mean to tell me that there's no pigel? You mean to tell me that there's no Nosar? Do you really mean to tell me that for the 7 days of Yontav, we're treating it like one entity of time, one unit of time? There's no pigel, there's no Nosar. The Gemara is simply saying that's untenable. V'chite ma'achanami. Now the Gemara says, well, maybe it's not untenable. Maybe it is tenable. V'hatanya Rabbi Nasan Amar lo Amar Rabbi Tarfon lo Zubavad. No, it's untenable. Rabbi Tarfon, when he said this halacha, I don't need to kasha the pots, he only said it vis-a-vis the halacha pots. In no other halacha where we have time considerations, we get to ignore time considerations. It's only by pots that we don't need to kasher. That's the only leniency of Rabbi Tarfon. So what do we need to do? We need to give another explanation, because this explanation didn't work. So Ella Kidrav Nachman Amarava Baravu, Amarav Nachman Amarava Baravu, call Yom Vayom Nase Giul Lechavero. So this too is brought down in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, but now we get it here in Zvachim as well. Here's what happens. On Yontiv, I am constantly using and reusing pots. So let's say now I cooked a carbon chatas in the pot. Good. On Yontiv, you're going to bring carbon chatas? That might not be the best example. Okay, fine. I cooked the carbon shlamim in the pot. Okay, fine. So now I cooked the carbon shlamim in the pot, and now what's going to happen? It's going to get reused again. It's Yontiv. Everybody's here in the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone's bringing carbonos. So now we're going to cook again in the pot. When I cook that second time in the pot, here's what happened with the previous taste that already was in the pot. It gets expelled, it gets expunged with this cooking. And so what happens is that every time I cook in the pot, any previous taste is going to be extracted from the walls of the pot, and kol yom v'yom nase gi'u l'chavero. So every day now is going to be an extraction. Not every day, every time you cook in the pot, it's going to be an extraction of that which was previously cooked in the pot. And that is why, according to Rabbi Tarfon, it doesn't require koshering, because basically it's in a constant koshering process.
But there's no intent behind it, though. You're not intending to, like, it's just like
doesn't matter. I'll tell you what I did hear. I heard a kosher. I don't have an answer to it. In other words, there will be one day over Yontiv where we're not cooking the pots.
Yeah, that's a kosher.
Shabbos.
There's also an Amir Kashitiva, is there?
Okay. Right. In other words, right. What is Rabbi Tarfon going to do with this extra requirement of Merikah V'Shtifa? But I guess his point is that it never gets to the point of needing Merikah V'Shtifa, because it just keeps constantly getting expunged again and again. Okay. Let's continue.
It's a mixture of carbons.
You don't have to limit pots to any particular carbon.
Then you get a mixture of the two different.
Oh, carbons. So we're going to talk about that. That's coming up. The Chachamim are memad zman achila. My kamar. What did the Chachamim mean? Now, the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Tarfon. What's meant by the Chachamim? So Amar of Nachman Amar Rav Baravu Mamtim Load Zman Achila V'Hado Avilei Merikah V'Shifa. So the Chachamim say no. When I cook in a pot, so that means now that we have started the process of Nosar, meaning now that I cooked in the pot, the taste that's embedded within the pot is going to become Nosar. I wait Ad Zman Achila. Now, it is not crystal clear in the Gemara when we're waiting. We're waiting till right before it becomes Nosar. Do we wait till after it becomes Nosar? In other words, the basic point of the Gemara is that according to the Chachamim, I don't just simply say that because of constant usage, it goes through a self-cleaning process, a self-koshering process. But you have to go through the process of Merikah V'Shtifa every time. It's not totally clear, however, do I have to actually wait until we get to Nosar, or can we do it right before Nosar? But in any event, you have to kosher it every time. So how do I look at these two pesukim? You wait till the zman achila, meaning you wait till expiration, and again, could be either right before or right after. You wait till expiration, and then after expiration, then you do the process of merikah v'shifa, and then we get to use them again. We are back now to the Mishnah in terms of the actual process of Merikah V'Shtifa. What does that mean? Tanu Rabbanan. And here are the Braisa that discusses. Right? Remember when I read the Mishnah, there were two girsos of the Mishnah. Now we're going to see it very clearly in this Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. Merikah V'Shtifa B'tzonei Divrei Rabbi. According to Rabbi, both Merikah and Shtifa are done in cold water. Meaning in addition to standard Hagala, in addition to standard Kashering, boiling water in the pot, also, there is an additional requirement of rinsing interior and exterior with cold. The Chachamim Omrim, Merika Bechamim V'Shtifa Betzonin. According to the Chachamim, the Merika is done with hot, meaning the Merika is what you and I would call standard koshering, and the Shtifa is that the extra requirement that's done with cold. My time at the Rabbanim needed to have a gula of the Kochavim. So according to the Chachamim, this is no different than your standard koshering. V'Rebbe Omer L'cha Hagala Lo Kamina. And as far as Rabbi's concerned, koshering is a given. I know about koshering. Of course we're going to do koshering. Ki kamina limerika v'shifa debasar hagala. Rabbi will tell you that we're talking about the extra procedure that's done after you kosher. V'rabbanan imken lechtov kra omarak Omarak, marak oshatav, omarak, marak oshatav, shatav my omarak, vishatav, shmamina marika becham and vishifa bitzonein. By virtue of the fact that instead of the Torah using the conjunction of O, right, as a and or, in other words, the double procedure, meaning the vav understood as a conjunction of and, not or, so the understanding is that marika is becham and vishifa bitzonein. Verebi e kasiv omarak. So marak havamina trezimni, marak o trezimni shotaf. I'm sorry, trezimni shotaf. Lakach siv umarak vishotaf lamelcha marika kamarika zakos shtifa kishtifa zakos. Rather than Torah telling us that, I might have thought that I might have repeated a process. So what the Torah is telling us is that no, I don't just simply repeat a process. Meaning that what we're doing is two separate processes. One is the interior, and the other is the exterior, like we do with a koshal brecha. Okay. Continuing now in the next Mishnah.
That's accepted of you?
I don't know. So in terms of which position, Rebbe or the Chachamim, I don't know. In terms of the next Mishnah, we're now discussing the what happens when I cook different karbanos in the same pot together. Mishnah tells us, Bishul b'kashim v'chulim. Let's say in the same pot I cook carbon and non-carbon. Oh, kashim v'kashim kalim, or I cook different types of karbanos in the same pot. Im yesh b'ayim benosin tam arei akalim nechalim kechamurim. So if there is an asinus tam, if taste is infused from one karban into another karban, so now we're going to follow the more stringent of the karbanos. So for as a simple example, if let's say in the same pot I cook chatas and shlamim, so now the shlamim is a much less restrictive karban. I can eat it throughout the entirety of Yerushalayim. I can eat it for 2 days. Men and women can eat it, as long as they're in a state of tahara. When it comes to the chatas, much more restrictive in terms of time, in terms of place, in terms of who can consume it. It can only be eaten in the azara, by zichrei kohanim, for 1 day and the following night. So now, if the two of them are cooked in the same pot together, and the taste of the chatas now is infused into the shlamim now is going to have to follow all the restrictions of the chatas.
So where is the conflict?
It's not a conflict. In other words, the taste the taste goes in.
But how could be one like overpower the other one?
It's not a question of overpowering.
Yeah, true.
Is it right? Okay.
You have to what?
But then the Mishnah says something which is really difficult to understand. There's no requirement of Mirka Vishifa. What does that mean, there's no requirement of Mirka Vishifa? That goes against what we just learned in the Mishnah. We just learned in the Mishnah that if taste is infused from one to another, you have to adopt and subscribe to all the stringencies. And if we're talking about Kachikachim, according to everybody, the stringency is Mirka Vishifa. It has this extra requirement. So what is it? What does the Mishnah mean when it says, and it doesn't require Mirka Vishifa? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to try to, quote unquote, fix the Mishnah. Ve'enam poslim b'maga, and it doesn't disqualify through contact. What does that mean? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to explain that as well. Rikik shenaga b'rikik. Ve'chaticha b'chaticha. If let's say you have two dry carbon foods touching one another, let's say a wafer touches a wafer, meaning a mincha, which has the status of rikikin. When we get to menachos, we're going to learn all the different types of menachos and the different types of mincha presentations. But for our purposes right now, rikik is just basically, it's a dry wafer touching another dry wafer, or a piece of meat touching another piece of meat. So lo kol rikikim v'lo kol chitichos asurin, eino asur ela b'makom shabala. The only thing that becomes asur is only that which is infused from one to another when two dry foods touch one another. How much of a blia is there? So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss. Okay, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on this Mishnah. This Mishnah over here presented to us a basic halacha. The basic halacha in the Mishnah, very clear. When foods are being cooked with one another, the taste of one food going into another food, and asinus tam, so then you're going to have to adopt all the stringencies of whichever carbon is more stringent in that pot. The basic point of the Mishnah is very clear. What, however, is not very clear is a lot of the other points in the Mishnah which are confounding. So my ka'amar, so the Gemara's first question is basically a big question mark, huh? Meaning, how can the Mishnah say first, you know, when the taste of something stringent gets mixed in with the taste of something less stringent, so then you have to follow the rules of the stringency, but it doesn't require Mirka Vishifa. What just happened in the Mishnah? So my Kamar. So the Gemara over here says, and now we're going to miss we're missing a couple words here in the Gemara. Hachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah must have meant. Meaning either we do this all the time. Either we're actually editing the Mishnah, or we're not editing the Mishnah. We're just simply saying this is the correct way to understand the Mishnah. In either event, im yesh b'hem b'no sein tam, hare hakalam ne'achalam kechamurim. U'te'unan merika v'shtifa. U'poslin b'maga. So if there is an esinas tam, so that means to say, basically, we're going to go three for three. One, you have to follow the stringent. Two, there's a requirement of merika v'shtifa. And three, if there is a negia, the contact between one carbon and another, with an infusion of taste, so then obviously the taste gets infused.
According to Rav Chachamim, merika v'shtifa applies to everything except for Rav Shimon, who says only.
We'll come back. We're going to come back to that. But in other words, but in terms of the basic understanding of the Mishnah, the first half of the Mishnah is telling us that if there's a taste transferred from one to another, so all three halachas apply. And ein b'hem no sein tam, however, if there's no transfusion of taste from one food to another, let's just simply say it's not enough to create a transfer of taste. It's just trace amounts, but not enough for a transfer of taste. Ein akal nechalam kechamorim, so then the taste, because it's negated, it's bittul, so then I don't have to follow the stringencies of that which is the trace amounts of chamor. And ein tu'un amerika v'shtifa, and there's no requirement to amerika v'shtifa, and ein posel b'maga, and it also does not create a psul of maga. Good. So basically, what we just did is a serious editing of the Mishnah, again, either actual editing or just editing in terms of our understanding, but basically, it's very simple now. If there's a taste, if there's an esinas tam, so then we have to regard we have to pay attention to that which that transfer of taste. And if there was no nesinas tam, so then we don't have to be concerned. To which the Gemara says, Nehi dekach kachim lo bai kachim kalam ni baye. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, if I, let's say, cook in one pot together chatos and shlamim, right? So that means to say now something which is kachim kadoshim together with something that's kachim kalam. So what are we now learning in the Mishnah? Well, if there was a transfer of taste, good. And if there was no transfer of taste, so then we can ignore it. So we're ignoring the chatos. Okay, good. We're ignoring the chatos. There's shlamim. I'm just cooking in the pot. So if I'm cooking shlamim in the pot, don't I need merika v'shtifa? So Amar Abaye mayin tuunim dekamar kachim kachim. Ava kachim kalim tuunim. So Abaye gives a suggestion, and that is, you're right. You're right and you're right. Meaning, so if there's not enough chatos to transfer taste into the shlamim, so I don't have to do merika v'shtifa because of the chatos. But I do have to do merika v'shtifa because of the shlamim. Now, honestly, just to be open and honest, I don't know what we got out of Abaye's answer. Meaning, okay, good. So I don't have to do merika v'shtifa from the standpoint of chatos, but I do have to do it as a shlamim. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. So just between us friends, I don't know what happened there with Abaye, what we learned together with Abaye. Rava Amar Hamani Rabbi Shimoni. Rava says, no, I'll give you a simple answer. And that is that our Mishnah here is not subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, which is Amar Kashim Kalam into Amrika V'Shtifa. Meaning, go back to the previous Mishnah. We learned back in the previous Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon says Amrika V'Shtifa is only by Kashim Kadoshim, not by Kashim Kalam. So if I'm cooking Chatas and Shlamim in the same pot together, and there's not enough Chatas to infuse taste into the Shlamim, so then our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, I don't need to do Amrika V'Shtifa. Okay, good. So according to Rava, actually his pshat is excellent, because if you look back at our Mishnah gives the case of kachim kachim getting mixed together with kachim kalim. And now for Rava, you totally understand why the Mishnah gave that example, to highlight the fact that our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. But according to Abaye, what do I need two cases in the Mishnah? Meaning the idea behind Abaye is that I don't have to do merika v'shtifa for the kachim kachim, but I do have to do merika v'shtifa for the kachim kalim. I need two examples in the Mishnah to teach me that point. So the Gemara says, "Ela abai tarta lameli tricha diiktan kachim v'chulim." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you for Abaye, it serves as a chiddush as well, because if I have kachim and chulim getting cooked in the pot together, hava mina chulim hu demavat lekachim delav minayu." Here's what I might have thought, and this goes back to a point that you made a little bit earlier. Here's what I might have thought. Kachim and chulin are so dissimilar from one another that chulin, assuming that there's more chulin than kachim, When I say more, I mean enough not only for a majority, but also for bittel tam. So there I would have said, okay, so it's a negation, there's bittel, because chulin and kashin are so dissimilar from one another. However, ava, kashin v'kashin kalam eim alo. But if I'm cooking together chatzos and shlamim, so in other words, they're both karbanos. I understand one's on a higher level of kedusha, but they're both karbanos. I might have thought, a hava mina, that even though there is enough to create bittel tam, even though there is no nesinas tam, but because of the similarity that exists between the two, I might have thought that there should never be bittel, period. And I can reverse the argument also. If the Mishnah only told me the case of chatos and shlamim getting cooked together, you know what? Shlamim could be mevato chatos. Again, assuming that you have the right proportions. But conceptually, fundamentally, shlamim could be mevato chatos. Why? Because shlamim is also a carbon. So in other words, that has the strength of a carbon, and it's not just another food, it's another food which is also carbon. But again, as a havamina, avachulin emalo. But I might have thought that if I'm cooking chulin with a carbon, and even though there's enough chulin that it could be not only just majority, but enough to even be mevato, the taste of the carbon, I might have thought that considering the fact that it's a carbon, it's intensified. And as now an intensified item, maybe, again, it's a havamina, maybe it will never be subject to bittel. And maybe then, even if it's trace amounts, even though it's not enough to create tam, but maybe there'd be no bittel simply because it's a carbon. Okay. Rikik. Sheigia b'rikik tan rabban kol asher yiga yachol. The Torah says contact. Contact creates now a transfer. So the Gemara says, well, if I read the pasuk in the Torah, I would have thought, okay, negia, contact. I feel shalobala, and even if there was no transfer of taste. Tamalom rabiv sara. So the Torah says no. In other words, just because one food makes contact with another food, that's not enough. There has to be a bliya, there has to be an absorption. Achi yavala bivsara, until it's an absorption. Now, what does that mean, an absorption? Rashi on the top of the Amud writes, Kagon. Ha-mehatech shuman chatas v'sach mimenu tzli shel shlamim. Let's say I take fat of a carbon chatas. I smear it on shlamim right before I roast it. And now I'm, right, it makes for excellent taste. And so now I'm roasting the carbon shlamim with the fat of the chatas now, getting nice and absorbed into it. That is now blia. That's an absorption. And also, and so from here we're going to learn now that the fat of the chatas now is going to permeate throughout the entirety of it. And Rashi over here, really interesting line of Rashi. Ein lo mod mikan tam ki ikar, shein zet tam el amamish. Now, there's a general principle that we see time and again throughout Shas, and that's tam ki ikar. The taste has the same status as the food itself. Meaning, even though I'm not eating the food, but I'm just eating taste that came from the food, so we have a discussion throughout Shas of tam ki ikar, or tam lav ki ikar. Rashi says over here, not relevant. Rashi writes, it's not relevant over here because, says Rashi, we're talking about the fat actually permeating through the shlamim. It's mamashus. This is real food. It's not just tam ke'ikah. Back to the Gemara. Yachol naga b'mikzas chaticha yehekula pasul. If, let's say, there was contact, but it didn't fully permeate, I might have thought that it all becomes disqualified. Tamalam yiga hanugea pasul. Ha-ketzad chotech es makum shabala bivsara. I'm sorry. Chotech es makum shabala, meaning if there was only a superficial contact between two karbanos, but it wasn't a full absorption through, so then all you need to do is just simply cut off a surface area on the point of contact. How much of the surface area do you need to cut? So that's your idea. That's Tarova's discussion.
Correct.
But there's no right. But it's not mifafe. It doesn't permeate through the other food. Bivsara. Where is there going to be a sharing of taste? That is only by meat. The hard parts of the animal, bones, hooves, sinews, tendons, right? All the inedible stuff. Hooves. So they do not create a sharing of taste. Yigdash lios kamoa, and yigdash comes to tell me in the Torah that once there is a transfer of taste from one carbon to another, So then it adopts all the rules. If the infusion of one carbon into another was an infusion of psul into another carbon, so then that which got infused is psul. If the infusion was just simply that it's more stringent, chata shlamim, so now I have to treat the shlamim with all the stringencies of a chatas. Amai, let's do one more question for today. I don't understand. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to eat carbon chatas. There's an issur in the Torah not to eat something which becomes disqualified. But if there's a mitzvah essay to eat carbon, and there's a lo sase because of the taste of that of a disqualified carbon that gets infused, so don't we have a general rule of essay being doch lo sase? And here we have a really interesting and fundamental answer. I'm a Rava. Ein osa doche es lo sase shebe mikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, that's not how it works. It does not. The rules of essay doch lo sase do not apply in the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, so if I have a lo sase, it will override an essay. How do I know that? Shenamar, the Torah says, Vatsam lo sish berubo. Rabbi Shimon Menasi Omer, Echad etzem sheish bamach, Echad etzem sheim bamach. By the carbon Pesach, the Torah tells me I'm not allowed to break a bone in the carbon Pesach. Now, what if the bone's got marrow in it? So, okay, so let's break a bone. Meaning, because then I'm going to be able to eat the marrow. Eating the marrow is a mitzvah. Achilas carbon Pesach. So why not break a bone? So let the essay be doch of the los assay. In the Beis HaMikdash, positive commandments don't override negative prohibitions.
In that case, though, there's other meat. It's not just the marrow.
It doesn't matter. There's still doesn't matter. There's still a mitzvah to eat it. It's a mitzvah to eat any meat in the Karban Pesach. Any and all meat in the Karban Pesach. It's a mitzvah. So let the positive commandment override the negative prohibition. I thought you were going to ask me that they don't come at the same time. In other words, first you break the bone, and then you eat the meat, right? So in other words, the only time we say essay dochalos assay is only beidna, only if it is concurrent. And over here, presumably, it's not concurrent.
People eat the cold base on the harabayis, not in the base. So they would be allowed to.
No, the Isser of Etzem Losis Burubo is always.
You could say Esser Dirkalos.
No. Mikdash in this context just simply means, in other words, carbon, makam, and mikdash. I see what you're saying, but it's not just to the area of the base of mikdash. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up.